This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I love the intelligence of our listening audience. Great texter here says, I'll make this quick. Been a pro sports fan for quite some time. I've grown tired of millionaires playing for billionaires complaining that they can't afford to live on what they make. Give me a break. Maybe all these fools who they are should go back and realize what the average person works for and saves up to come watch them play maybe one time in their life, and yet they take the day off because they need rest. Come on. 100%. I know you do too, Pete.
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? It's unbelievably frustrating, Dave. I mean, it's something that we've been talking about for a while now, and I feel bad, obviously, the health issues with Popovich and everything, but he was one of the guys behind all of this, too, the beginning of doing the load management. And, you know, it's a disservice to your fans. That's the way I view it. And it's something that, you know, you can never get that back, because those guys who spent the money to be able to go there, who don't have even millions or hundreds of thousands or anything really, for them to go there for their entertainment and be able to see a Michael Jordan. Michael never sat out. Michael played hurt a lot, as a matter of fact.
Yep,
so
he sure did.
It's a different world though, and these guys feel like they're due this, and that's even worse. That pulls the sport down even that much more.
Yeah. Michael also didn't take too many technicals in his career, from what I remember. Part of that's probably because he was Michael Jordan. He got leeway, and I think that's another topic for another time. Anthony Edwards picks up his 16th technical this week. He gets fined quite a bit of money. I'm trying to find. I think it was it $35,000 for a technical. And I think there's a couple things at play here. Anthony Edwards is frustrated. He's frustrated, I think, that he doesn't get the same star treatment that he believes he should. And he's continuing to take it out on officials. He was automatically suspended one game, did not play in the second half of a back-to-back against Utah. The Wolves have lost two straight, largely without him. And all this being said, as we played in at the end of the last hour, it wants to be the face of a league. And if you want to be the face of a league and a face of a franchise, you quite simply cannot continue to take technical fouls and use profanity and all these things that he's been doing. And if he needs to change, because the league will never back him as the face of the league if he continues to do this. In addition to that, he's hurting his team. The Timberwolves cannot win if Anthony Edwards is not on the floor. And this is part of being a star player. The other team is going to try to get under your skin. Eventually, the dam breaks and you go after an official instead. But you can't keep doing that, because eventually you're just going to have that MO of being a hothead. And and if it continues, and I'm not saying it's there yet, but if it continues, teams are going to say, yes, he's a great player, but the caveat is he can't keep his temperature. He can't keep his temper in check. He can't stay on the floor. And if you want to be the face of a franchise and the face of a league, then you got to change the way you play. It's as simple as that. He has got to change his attitude. And we forget sometimes how young he is. What is he, 23 years old?
23. You know, I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
He's 23 years old. And so there's some growth here that needs to happen. But it's time. It's time for that growth. It's time for that transformation. It's time for Anthony Edwards to start to say, okay, I got to let all that go and push it out, play ball, and ball out for my team, for my league, and then you will become that guy. It's not. It can't just be about playing anymore. It's not. Not in this day and age. You can't just be a good player and expect to have all the accolades because there's so much more. The NBA is facing a huge identity crisis right now. Huge.
Yeah.
They have the identity of a bunch of crybabies who don't want to play the sport that they're being paid millions of dollars for. And you cannot put a guy on a poster who's leading the – I don't know if he's leading the league in technicals, but is getting 15 and 16 technicals in a season. That's you're not going to be that guy. And so it's time for Anthony Edwards to do a real gut check and go, okay, what do I want to be? Do I want to be the face of this team and the league and be that player? Or do I want to let my emotions continue to get the better of me and continue to just scream and yell and be a complainer every night on the court?
I would love to see Michael Jordan reach out to him and try to coach him from that perspective. Just to give him the idea of, you want to be the face of the league? Then here's what you have to do to be the face of the league and get this thing turned around, because your commissioner is not doing it. He's doing almost everything he's doing it wrong. You know, from the All-Star game to the games themselves, to the load management and the lack of ratings. A lot of that is due to his allowing things to happen. And in this case, it's a problem, because Anthony Edwards, I view him so similarly to the talent level of maybe, and I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, but he's a young guy who's got nothing but upside in front of him, and he's an absolute freak when it comes to what he's able to do on the basketball court. Now, he's 23 years old, as you said, and Terrence Shannon, who actually has stepped in and done very, very well, our first-round draft pick from Illinois, he's 24. So we do have to keep, I guess, that into some perspective, but it doesn't matter, because if you want to be there, and he's the guy who said that, you want to be the face? Okay, you want to be the face. You have to do things the right way, and you can't do the swearing. You can't get all of these fouls, like you were saying, and it's something. I mean, the fact that he got suspended, I know it's only a game, but still, nonetheless, that hopefully is a wake-up call to go a different direction and be a basketball player, not be a guy who's out there whining and doing all that, because if that's the direction he wants to take – well, then he shouldn't be the face of the league. And so he has to make a decision. Does he really want to be there or not? And if he does, which I think he does, he's got to fix this side of him. And that's something, I put that on the Timberwolves. I even think that a guy like Michael Jordan ought to reach out to him and give him some advice, because he certainly isn't getting it yet, or he would have stopped getting all of these technical fouls and all the rest of it. So somebody's got to get in his head and get him back straight that it's about basketball, number one. It's about all the other good things that he does, being friendly with the fans and playing and not doing load management and all the rest of it. That part of his game is great. He has to fix the entire part of his game, though, and his game includes those penalties or those fouls that he continues to get, as you said.
Yeah. Brian Windhorst of ESPN, I think, really put it very well this week. He said, quote, "Even if the 16th tech was soft, he's got another 15 of them." He does lead the league, by the way. He's an excellent player. He's absolutely the heart of the Timberwolves. He's got to be available to them. He's not playing the second night of a back-to-back without three starters in Salt Lake City. He's hurting them Thursday. He hurt them Friday. Not acceptable for Ant. He's got so much more going for him. He's got to control his emotions better. And I would add to that, he's right. I would add to that that the league is starving for great players and good people like Anthony Edwards. And yep. I want to make sure that this is abundantly clear. Anthony Edwards is a good human being, I think, by all accounts. He mm-hmm. loves his team. He does stuff in the community. He is always available, I think, to fans at least for autographs and things like that. But he's got to grow up, and that's what this comes down mm-hmm. to. This is a growth moment for him. You're 23 years old, and it's time to figure out how to act like a 23-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got to change if you're going to be that guy. Someone texting and says, does Dave watch the games? Ant said he doesn't want to be the face of the league. I don't know that that's true. I think he has said that. In fact, we had LeBron James saying, Josh, that was LeBron talking about Ant. Am I correct at the end of the last hour?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. So I do think that he wants to be that guy. And even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't say it, he wants to be that guy. Charles Barkley is saying he wants to be a role
even
model.
If he and Dave, I right. would say this, even if he doesn't want to be, he kind of is, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's reached a level where people are, I mean, we all know LeBron James is 40 years old. He's been a face, yeah. right? But, you know, whether he wants to or not, you become something, you know, especially at his young age and what he's already accomplished as a player at this level in the NBA, it's unbelievable. I'll tell you the one thing that I came away with, though, is this Terrence Shannon, the fact that he got that opportunity to be a little bit more of a player, get a little bit more time, and the games that he played, the last three games, he's 17 points, 25 points, 17 points. He's shooting 60% from 3-point. I mean, we got a good draft pick there who can be on the floor a little bit more, and I think the coach is starting to find out that between he and Jaden McDaniels, we've got some players that probably should get more time, and I think those two guys really have stepped up as well.
Yeah, you would hope that he's getting a little bit of some advice. I agree. It'd be great if Jordan reached out to him. I don't know how Anthony Edwards would work with that, mm-hmm. but I do think that he needs to get. I'm sure that there's some people. I'm sure we're not the only people in the world telling him it's time for him to grow up. Right? It's mm-hmm. time. It's time for him to make a change. So, Texter says basketball is killing itself. Start with the fact mm-hmm. that good players spend 1 year in college and then leave. Then load management stuff in the pros, along with being crybabies. Yeah, I mean we've talked about this, that there is a huge identity crisis right now when it comes to what basketball is going to be, and they have to figure that out because the ratings are going down, and when the ratings go down, the money doesn't come in, and when the money doesn't come in, it eventually hurts the league. So it's something that they're going to have to figure out, and they need these guys to be better examples of good sportsmen on the court in addition to just being great players. We'll take a break, mm-hmm. come back. Time for some sports headlines. Three headlines from the week in sports we will react to. You're coming up where we listen to the huddle. All right, gentlemen, headlines time. I'll give you the news, and you can react to it. From something called TalkSport.com, the NBA, and I'm going to – I don't want to get this guy's name wrong. Is it Bailey, the owner of the Lakers? Going to be fascinating. Lakers owners predict massive NBA expansion. He's basically saying that Europe could eventually have a team in the NBA. He's the Los Angeles Dodgers co-owner, Todd – is it Bailey, Bowley? I don't know.
I thought it was Jeannie Buss owned the Lakers.
General manager. Sorry, what did I say? Did I say owner? So he's the Dodgers co-owner. Do we think the NBA could ever actually work in Europe? I know we've talked about it with football, but do you think it could ever happen over there?
I think everybody wants to expand, guys. I mean, I think the reality is that's why we've been seeing it in the NFL, and I think you've seen a little bit of it in the NBA where they try to do this traveling around the world type thing, and whether it's summertime, whatever it might be, and trying to build up something. I think the first most obvious place that they're going to go is Las Vegas, right? I mean, we all kind of feel that there's – yeah, Seattle. I think both of those, Dave, but I don't know that they would stop there. I mean, the amount of money that you'd be able to bring in from another franchise coming in somewhere in Europe, maybe it's as simple as London or something like that, just to get it started, but – it certainly is the path that the NFL has taken, and they're you know, been moving on that more and more and more all the time. And we saw that in the preseason this past year, and I think we're going to continue to see that grow as the NFL is going to make sure that that happens. I mean, I was part of that NFL Europe, and before that, the league that they had, And there's a lot of promise over there. And that was going back 1992 to 1997 or something like that. Yeah. They want to expand, and that's how they're going to do it, I think.
Could you imagine, though, the amount of load management if you have to go? If you're playing a game in Detroit, and then you, the next two nights later, you're in London?
Yeah.
Holy cow. All right.
I can tell you this, though.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the one thing you can see when it happens is a lot of the time you get those road trips that make a little bit of sense. Like if you're in L.A. and you're the Lakers and all of a sudden you go out, you play against New York, you know, the next night you play maybe in London two nights later. And then you come back and you go through Toronto and then you get back to L.A. So you're on the road, but it's not as awful as it sounds. It really isn't. I mean, let's be honest. That games that happen in the NFL, when you're in L.A. and then you've got to go to New England and then back, I mean, that's pretty fatiguing too. So people have been dealing with these things for a long time. They know how to do it.
Josh, you got anything on this?
I do not.
Okay. This is the leading green nation, the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles fan site.
Fly Eagles fly.
Diana Rossini fly Eagles fly. quoting Diana Rossini from The Athletic, basically that the New York Giants are shifting their focus to Aaron Rodgers. I, again, don't understand why in the world anybody would want to handle this baggage when there are plenty of other veterans on the market that would be just as good. Mm-hmm. Pete, your thoughts? Are the Giants really going to do this?
I don't think so. It doesn't make enough sense for me. And a lot of folks on the boards, when you look around right now, the number one quarterback is not Sanders. It's Cameron Ward. But you see both sides of it. And then there's Abdul Carter. Whoever goes in those first couple of picks, somebody will still be available for the Giants. And whether or not that's Sanders or if it's Carter or if it's Ward, I think they go that direction, in particular, probably with a quarterback is where they obviously need that. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers is anywhere on the radar for the Giants. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense to me.
Could you imagine if Shedeur Sanders goes to New York? Oh my goodness. What a spectacle.
It could happen.
Talk about a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't want a culture change, don't bother.
Yeah, you're sure.
You're not going to get it. Final headline for you here, guys.
By the way, are we sick of talking about Aaron Rodgers? Because I know I am. I'm not ripping at all on our content or whatever. I'm just saying.
But he keeps coming up.
I'm so tired of this sweepstakes that is Aaron Rodgers this offseason. It's gotten almost worse than the year before, two years ago when he was on the loose.
Kansas men's basketball player Zeke Mayo said he was the target of hateful social media posts following the Jayhawks' 78-73 loss to Texas Tech, who's ranked number 10. Mayo took to social media to apologize for performance, writing, quote, "I 100% deserve all the criticism in the world. My performance was beyond pitiful today and has been for a while now. I work my you-know-what off every day to be great, but I can't be perfect all the time. I'm sorry to our fans and teammates. I'll continue to get better." He attached four screen grabs. If you want to go find them yourself, listeners, go find them. I can't read them on air. They are horrific and awful and things that I don't think I'd ever even think about my worst enemy. They're racially charged. Some of them ask him to take his own life. I mean, things that are just no business in this. And once again, this is 2025, okay? Have we not figured out yet that this is not okay? First of all, he's a kid. Second of all, he's a college basketball player. Maybe he gets NIL money, but he's not getting big contracts yet. What kind of person are you to respond to someone on social media and say these horrific things that you would never say in person? You are such a coward. Taking to social media and going after a college basketball player. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's not like nobody's going to see it, especially being arguably the biggest basketball program in the country. Like, that's going to be put on a big, huge spotlight when you do that.
Well, and it's just unfortunate. I mean, it's unfortunate at every single level, guys. We all know that. But specifically, when you're getting underneath the professional level and you're at the college spot and you're saying things, and it's just crazy. I don't think people understand. These guys are still, I know they're men, but they're still kind of boys. I mean, you're
they're
in college
kids.
And, you know,
yeah.
All of that. It's just not okay. And, I've never liked it. I've seen that happen for many, many, many years. It's only gotten worse over the last 10 years, probably, where it's elevated to the next level of terrible. And it's really a shame. And people shouldn't feel that it's okay to vent like that to somebody who's an 18-year-old kid. I mean, let's be honest. It's amazing, or 19 or 20, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. They're not a professional athlete that is making, you know, those millions of dollars for what they do. So it's really a shame that they've gone that far.
It's the anonymity of the keyboard warriors,
yeah,
who will sit back there under their, you know, 529 RHCQ ampersand screen name with nothing else attached but a picture of their dog, and they say horrible things. You're a coward. You're a coward, mm-hmm, is what you are. You are picking on, you are bullying and picking on a college kid who, by the way, even on your best day, you couldn't beat in a free throw contest. Like, give me a break,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Right.
To sit here, I don't think that this really charges me up, I'll be honest with you. I don't think that Mayo even needed to go and apologize for what he did. You had a bad game. Everybody has bad games. Everybody has bad days at work. Goodness knows, I've had terrible radio shows. I don't have to go out and say to everybody, I'm sorry for my performance today. He doesn't know anybody a thing. He's a kid, right, playing college, mm-hmm, basketball. And you're an absolute gutless coward for going, mm-hmm, after him on social media and saying these horrible things that they're saying about a kid who is vulnerable, who was honest and humble about not having his best day. It makes me so angry, and it's one of the reasons why I am a lot less on social media now than I was at another time in my life. All right, we're over here.
Yeah.
We're over. Dave LeVake's going to join us next from the Star Tribune. It's my favorite time of the year. It's the Boys State High School Hockey Tournament. Starts at the XL Energy Center this week. I want to talk to him about some of the great teams in this field. We'll do that coming up. It is my absolute favorite time of the year, the girls and the boys state hockey tournaments. Dave LeVake is the Star Tribune prep reporter and co-author of Tourney Time. It's a great book on the high school hockey tournament. Dave, good morning. I've been looking at some of the brackets, and I want to start with 1A. It's always interesting to me when you have a northern team that plays a largely northern schedule gets the top seed, because there's, you know, clearly there's some very good teams down in this bottom half of the metro that they don't play. Your thoughts on where everyone was seated, at least coming into on the 1A, Hibbing Chisholm getting the number one seed in the tournament. Good morning.
Oh, well, but good morning. Nice to be chatting with you. There was a lot of interest in what Hibbing and Chisholm would get for a seed, given that they had beaten the Slay the Giant of Hermantown. And I said I didn't know, and I didn't think that could, you know, that one win might, you know, convince people to see them won. But I guess it did.
Dave, so when you're looking at this and you see all of the great matchups that we do have, is there somebody that you think, as because you follow this so closely, is there somebody you think right now, what school really stands out, maybe in the AA, where you're looking at it and saying, you know what, number one is Moorhead, but I'm kind of looking at this group. Is there somebody that you look, is it Edina, is it St. Thomas Academy, or who would be sort of the dark horse?
I, if you can qualify Edina as a dark horse, they qualify, because they had a tough road. They were talking to Kurt Giles after the game Wednesday when they beat Wayzata. He said there's a lot of things that they went through as far as illnesses and, you know, basically the same things most people are used to. But then it did affect them, and so he was definitely glad to be in the tournament. So,
and certainly with plenty of experience as well. Dave LeVake from the Star Tribune joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I am looking at some of these AA matchups, and the one that immediately comes to my eye is Andover-Stillwater.
Yeah.
Stillwater, now correct me if I'm wrong here, and if I am, please tell me, but Stillwater's goalie was a transfer from Andover. Is that correct? And for most
That's
of the
exactly
year, he was not
correct.
Eligible.
Yep.
Yeah. Is he eligible for the tournament?
He is. He was because he stayed.
I love these storylines. You love it.
Yeah. He played in the section final. So you talk about a juicy matchup, that qualifies.
As far as some of the other ones, and that's an interesting one. I mean, I didn't know that, Dave, about the goalie, but Matamidi is right around the corner from me in my house in Minnesota. So I'm curious, do they possess enough right now, do you think, to actually get themselves into position to be going head to head with maybe it's Hibbing?
Well, they do because they play a tough schedule. You know, that's what people overlook a little bit with Matamidi. Is that they play a tough schedule and they're you know, as such, they're tested. And, you know, if anybody understands how to win lately, it's Matamidi because they're coming off of two recent wins. So, you know, they would be a team to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, as you look at these two, the A and the AA brackets, do you see, is it going to be a 1-2 matchup in the finals? Is there someone that you think one team that might surprise everybody and make it all the way to Saturday, the championship game?
Well, I mean, looking at the bracket in 1A, I would say that, you talk about St. Cloud Cathedral is a 2 seed, and then Hibbing, of course, is a 1 seed. But I still look at, you know, the other side of the semifinal matchups because, you know, East Grand Forks could be a tough team to play, and Northern Lakes, because it's coached by Mike Randolph, so that you can never count them out.
Yeah. Boy, he did it again. Mike Randolph's such a great coach for so many years up north at – was he Duluth East or Hermantown? He was here at Hermantown, wasn't he?
Duluth East.
Yeah, Duluth East. Okay, I knew it was one of them, and he comes down, and now he takes the Northern Lakes Lightning. As you look at the other side of the bracket – Orono's number 6. They've got some really, really good talent. They had a tough matchup against Minneapolis to even get in. I feel like it's been a while since I've seen Northfield in the bracket. When you look at some of these teams, and there's a lot of newer teams, as someone who covers it, is it more exciting? Is it more exciting when you see and the idea that maybe you're going to get a team that's never won a championship or at least is going to make it to a championship game that they've never been to before?
Yeah, it is exciting. Probably the latter, you know, the team that might make it to a championship game that you probably weren't expecting, you know, but that's where the excitement comes in.
Dave, most important question we got so far is this. Who's going to win this all-hair team this year from the different schools?
Well, it won't be St. Thomas Academy. That's a spoiler alert, but I don't think they're going to qualify.
Okay.
Did they all shave their heads?
Well, they keep it high and tight. It's military academy,
that's
you know.
True, yeah, that's a good point.
Yep, that's true.
Good point. What do you see out of AA? Who do you think takes it this year?
Well, I mean, I would, you know, it's going to be a bit of a reach, but I really am a Moorhead fan. I really think that would be awesome. They could get it done because they have a couple kids that playing that are sons of former players that were at the beginning of the Moorhead when they got good, you know, Kraft and Cullen, and I would think it would be a cool generation story to see them come through and get it done. And you know, then they're not exactly a dark horse. I mean, they won the Bantam State Championship for crying out loud. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, the Cullen kid is good, and the Kraft too. There's some pedigree, and I think I read an article this week about how their dads never won it, but they really want to, which is awesome. I just love this time of year. One team that sticks out to me in AA, I'm curious your thoughts, is Shakopee, a team that has not traditionally been a hockey power, but Calvin Simon has done an incredible job with that team. They draw a really tough first game against St. Thomas Academy. Do they have what it takes to pull off an upset?
I think they have what it takes, but will they do it? I don't know. It falls into the, you know, are they happy to be here category? You know, that's one of, it's going to be one thing that we'll have to answer, you know, by the time that they play, and you know, we'll see if they, because they've got talent. They've got Cooper Simpson. He's a Mr. Hockey candidate, and yep. And I think that they're a team that could definitely make a noise. But it's going to be kind of really important to however they can start, and if they can get up on St. Thomas Academy and kind of keep it going. But you know, what remains to be seen.
Pretty excited about Edina, for sure, and it sounds like you guys both are as well. But does Rogers have a great opportunity in front of them? Is this a year where they can maybe take down a power like Edina, who's pretty much in the tournament every year?
The short answer is yes, because Rogers is very talented, very, 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 very skilled and very good at what they do. They've been a top 10 team all the year long, and they play a tough schedule. And so, you know, they did that, and they got a little bit of a run in them if they're able to put it together. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a bit of a tough draw, you know, getting you down.
Yeah.
When you look at, really quickly before we let you go, Mr. Hockey is this weekend. There's a lot of big names. Who do you feel like put together the best resume to win that award this year?
I think Mason Kraft in Moorhead. He's very close to being the leading scorer, and you know he's been on a very good team, and you know he's a Division I recruit in his own right. He's going to Mankato. And so that's kind of the combination that will kind of sway voters, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think he could pull it off.
Dave LeVague from the Star Tribune. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope I get to see you this week. I believe 11 a.m. first game on Wednesday. Mata Medei St. Cloud Cathedral over at the Xcel Energy Center. Should be fun. My favorite
that
time of the
good.
Year. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right, state hockey tournament this week. So Mata Medei and St. Cloud at 11 on Wednesday at the Xcel Energy Center. And you get the small schools first, big schools start on Wednesday, the AA. Should be an awesome, awesome tournament. We'll take a quick break and come back and finish up hour number two. You're listening to The Huddle. We're taking you up to the top of the hour. Who do the Twins have today? Spring training game today?
Yeah, I think they have the Washington Senators.
The Washington, shut up. The Gopher men's hockey team wins at least a share of the Big Ten title last night. They beat Penn State 5-3 on the road. Game-winning goal from Mike Kester, captain, defenseman, who's had a phenomenal year this year. But I'll tell you, I know we haven't talked a lot about this team, and I'm not going to compare this to, I think it was, last year, 2 years ago, when they had Brock Faber. You know, it was just a different mm-hmm. – that team was different. But, I mean, Jimmy Snuggerud has 45 points this year, 22 goals, 23 assists. He's plus 15. Connor Kurth has 36 points. He's a plus 30. And for the casual hockey fan, that basically means when he's on the ice – they have scored 30 more goals, right? Like, so he's, you take the goals scored again for you and against you for plus minus, and then you get your number. If you're in the plus, it's good. If you're plus 30, you're incredible. And so I just think this team, it's a great win over Penn State last night. They've had their ups and their downs. But this team is a really solid hockey team, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't take a ton of penalties. They're doing decently well, I think, with their power play. It's fun to watch, man. Fun to watch when these teams locally do well.
Well, there's something special about Gopher hockey. The fact that the people just pile in there and they love it. They're into it. I mean, it's the one, I think more so than basketball these days. You know, for a long time it was basketball over at the University of Minnesota and hockey. And I think it really has kind of moved over more and more and more because of the winning that they do with the hockey side of things. But Dave, to your point, there's a heck of a lot of depth in Gopher hockey. I mean, you know, you brought up Snuggerud, unbelievable. Kurth also. Then you throw in Wood and Moore and Lamb, and the next thing you know, you start going through even more and more and more, and it's impressive. I mean, we always say we're the state of hockey. Well, we really are, except for one thing, and I wanted to ask you about this. Our goalie is a and both goalies, but the main goalie that we've got is a Penn State transfer guy, Canadian, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, I remember long ago when there was one of the coaches said, "Hey, look, I'm just going to recruit the state of Minnesota. That's all I'm going to do."
Yeah.
Well, we've expanded outside of that.
Yeah, goalies are hard too. Goalies, because there's only, you know, 2 to 3 spots on a team. You've got really good goalies. They usually don't commit until really late because you have to figure out what you got. You know, if you've got your guy for 4 years, you don't need 2 or 3 more guys behind him, and they're not gonna play there because goalies want to play now. It's not like you get, you know, when you're a forward or a defenseman, you need 9, 10, 12 good forwards and 6 good D. You only need 1 or 2 good goaltenders, and so you know the spots are limited. So it is harder sometimes, and that's why goalies usually commit later, I think. But it's different now, and hockey is so much more of a countrywide game in the sense of that if you were only to recruit Minnesota, you would probably fall behind because there are good players elsewhere. But more than anything, like really good players in Minnesota, they're not all going to the U of M anymore. They're going to, I mean, we heard it with Dave LeVake, the guy who might win Mr. Hockey this year is going to Mankato. And we've got guys who will go to St. Cloud State, Bemidji State. It used to be that almost every Mr. Hockey would go to Minnesota, and that was it, because that's who they wanted to play for, and that was it. And it's different now. It's different with NIL. It's different about, you know, the American game. You want to go where you can win, and then eventually where you can develop and move on to the next level. And I think those kind of the programs, the St. Cloud States, the Mankatos, the Bemidji States, they have gotten so much better because they're recruiting elsewhere of Minnesota. Bemidji State got good because they were more than willing to recruit Western Canada and take, you know, it wasn't too long ago that most of their roster was 23, 24-year-old freshmen because they'd go play juniors, or 21-year-old freshmen because they'd go play juniors first, whereas Minnesota would get these kids, okay, we got to commit to this Mr. Hockey kid because if we don't take him and let him play now, someone else is going to. And so the landscape of recruiting, I think, has changed. Bob Motzko's still done a really nice job, not even just recruiting good kids, but retaining good kids. Mikey Kester's been there for quite a while. Jimmy Snugger's been there for a while. Sam Renzel's been there for a couple years. And those guys, they're going to have professional careers ahead of them to a degree. So I think that's why Minnesota still maintains kind of that edge over some of the other schools.
Are we going to win the national title this year? I know that we're number 2 right now in the rankings, but are we a team that you think, as you look at it right now, you say, you know what? Yes, the Gophers are going to win, or is it still kind of questionable?
It's so tough. I mean, it is questionable. Yeah. I think when you play for, you know, the University of Minnesota's always got a chance. Boston College has is ahead of them by a little. I don't know what the pairwise is in terms of strength of schedule. But, I mean, you've got some really tough teams out east and out west that are really going to challenge, you know, the Maines of the world, the Denvers of the world, who are ranked number 6 right now. You got Minnesota 2, Michigan State 3, Western Michigan 4. It all kind of comes down to what's your draw, where are you going to play, who do you get in that first round, and can your guys who have the experience, and they do have experience, make good on that. So it'll be fun. Love the NCAA hockey tournament. It's always a fun time of year.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, everybody.
And now, 2 pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's going to do it for us. Have a great week. Twins are up next, and we'll talk to you next.